Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Excuse me. That's a good way to start off on a Sunday night with. I can't even hardly speak here. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you till midnight tonight, coming to you live right here, WHKW AM 1220, The Word, right here in Independence, Ohio. Glad to have you with us tonight. And we're going to get started in a word of prayer. We'll be giving out our phone numbers. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. So let's go ahead and get started here. We're just going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you for the opportunity we have to be on the air once more this evening. We do pray that you would bless, help us to be a blessing, help us to be an encouragement to somebody this evening, help us to be able to point somebody to Christ that's searching. And Father, thank you again. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, good to have you with us tonight, and what a beautiful day it turned out to be today. That kind of nasty yesterday. We traveled from Richfield to Medina, and we had, I think, every form of precipitation known to man just in about a 10 or about a 15, 20 minute drive. And but this morning broke out nice sunshiny morning. A little chilly this morning, a little icy this morning. We were down below freezing. We were down in the upper 20s. And then the sun started to come out and the temperature came up. And boy, by this afternoon, what a beautiful day. And I guess we got some nice weather in store later on this week. But we're certainly glad you're able to be listening with us here tonight. And We're going to be on here till midnight. Hope you can join in with us. Our telephone numbers are, let me find it here, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And looking at a couple things happening out there, I saw that the Obama administration backed off on something that I was kind of happy to hear. And if you've ever been in 4-H when you were younger or grew up on a farm, you would appreciate this. They were floating a regulation that was going to ban kids from working on farms and under 18 from working and doing certain things. But thankfully, they backed off from that. And I thought, well, ironic, outlaw 4-H. I mean, yeah, what a horrible thing, making kids raise goats or sheep or cows or pigs or horses or something like that. And then actually letting teenagers or even 10, 12-year-olds have to take care of animals. Oh, what a horrible thing that is. I figured it'd be much longer after that, they'd probably ban you from owning guppies, or at least letting children take care of it. Well, we can talk about a variety of things here tonight, but praise the Lord, that was gone. Also, I wanted to mention, too, here before we take our first call, I saw that just recently Governor Kasich signed into bill a law saying that the public schools in the state of Ohio are now required to teach the founding documents of our country. And I guess we might be able to get portions of the Bible back into the schools yet. They'll be, of course, worried that it's going to turn everybody into a born-again fundamentalist Christian, I guess. They did get some resolve and a settlement out, speaking of things like that, in the Mojave Desert. There's the cross memorial that was out there, a veterans memorial with a cross, and it was on public land. And, of course, the atheists, the ACLU, different groups like that were mortified, deeply offended and scarred by seeing a cross on public land, even though if you go into national cemeteries at here in the States, as well as some cemeteries for U.S. veterans overseas. You'll see fields of crosses there, and they did everything they could to keep this from being put back up. But I guess the latest thing is that a couple acres there, I guess, is going to be given to a private group in exchange for 5 acres. It's going to be donated to them later, and then the cross is supposed to be reinstated out there in the Mojave Desert. So for life of me, can't figure out why it's so threatening to an atheist or a member of the ACLU. It's not like people are going to see it and then suddenly go out and join my church. I don't think there's any sign on there to that effect. But, we can talk about a variety of things, and your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. And we have John in Euclid on tonight, I believe. And, John, are you there?
Yeah, hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening, John. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, I was thinking the question I was going to be asking you was 1 Corinthians chapter 14, but I'm realizing it's kind of covered over several chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Starting in about chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it kind of carries through. But you may have heard, I mean, even the previous program, they had a caller call up and, you know, talking about the spiritual gifts.
Right.
And that, he was even saying, this gentleman was, basically saying, he said, well, if someone's saved, you know, they're going to have all these spiritual gifts. You know, the first thing I'm seeing right there, it's saying there's, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Right.
And so it wouldn't seem to be like that everyone who is saved is going to have all these spiritual gifts.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to try and say that everybody's going to have every one of these gifts is to, not read the Bible, I guess, is the easiest way to say that, because he starts out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I can't really comment on the previous show because I don't really get a chance to listen to much of it. I might hear a word or two of it as I'm coming in getting ready, but they're actually not local. They're actually out of West Virginia, so it's not like they're here or anything. So, I don't really see or know what they're doing necessarily unless I catch part of it while I'm getting ready. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 starts out very clearly in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, which means that the very beginning of it, he is going to talk about this subject because he doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to know. He wants us to have knowledge. He wants us to have information about these spiritual gifts. And as he comes down through this, he says right there in verse number 4, now there are diversities of gifts. That means different gifts, but the same Spirit. And so the diversities of gifts, that means there are different gifts, but all of them are the result of the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives these gifts. He lists a number of them. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the and this is crucial here. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So everyone is going to manifest some form of spiritual gift. And so we understand that. And it very plainly says in the next few verses here, verse 8, for to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom. That's what one person might get, that spiritual gift. That gift comes from the Holy Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So there's two diverse gifts, but they're by the same Spirit. One has one has the other. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same spirit. And then he says here in verse 11, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, very clear as this passage is developed, he says in verse 12, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. And that's referring back when you got saved, when I got saved, I received the Holy Spirit. And at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit took up residence in me. If I didn't receive the Holy Spirit, then I was never saved. You cannot be saved and not receive the Holy Spirit. And then, and actually we see that in Romans chapter 6, and let's see here, verse number 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. I'm up a little too far here. Can't see what I'm trying to read here this evening. I'll get to that one here in just a minute. I don't want to get off my topic here. But the idea is we've received the Holy Spirit, having received the Holy Spirit, we will then manifest gifts of the Holy Spirit depending on how God chooses to give that to us, how he chooses to have us manifest that. And as we were saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says verse number 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? He says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set them members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And so he's going on talking about how we have these various gifts, each one's different. Some people may have similar gifts, and some people may have gifts that other people don't have. But obviously they're all given to us as the Lord determines to give them to us. And in fact, he says later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 29, are all apostles? And these are rhetorical questions. The obvious answer is no. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So he's saying we don't all have the same gifts, but we should desire the best gifts whereby we can serve God. And let me get back to Romans there. In Romans chapter 8, I was actually two chapters too far there. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So very plainly, the Bible says, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit of Christ, that's the Spirit of God, you're not saved. And then the Holy Spirit gives you spiritual gifts, which we manifest in various ways. And without getting into all the details of whether or not tongues are for today, or whether or not they are a temporary sign gift, it's very clear that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, not everybody spoke in tongues. And this is something I never can see where people don't see this, because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse number 27, actually the end of verse 26, let all things be done unto edifying. And he says in verse 27, if any man speak an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. We had somebody that visited our Friday night Bible study one time, and was brought up the question of speaking in tongues. And I said, well, listen, I'm not going to condemn it or criticize it or anything. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to read the scriptures. I invite people listening right now. People that are listening right now, I'm going to read the scripture. Most people listening, and John, you've probably seen this yourself, and either on television or maybe been somewhere where they spoke in tongues. Have you ever been in a situation like that?
Yeah, I've seen. Definitely seen it on television.
Now,
and I've heard it. Well, I've had it told to me many times by many different people.
Now, hold that what you saw, okay? And people listening on the radio, if you've been in a service where they spoke in tongues, if you've seen it on television or something like that, hold that thought in your mind. Remember what you saw, what you experienced. And all I'm asking for you to do is compare what you saw, what you heard, what you experienced. Compare that with what the Bible plainly says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay, and I did this at a Friday night Bible study one time. This woman brought up the subject, and I never criticized speaking in tongues or anything, but she never came back.
People have told me a lot about. I've never actually seen anyone.
Well,
you know, myself on television, I've seen them. Like,
yeah, if you've seen it on television, that's
and it was so
Well, let me just read through this.
That it was like I knew it wasn't right.
Yeah, let me just read through a couple of verses. Compare what you saw on television, or our listeners compare what they've seen or experienced. He says in verse 27, "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three." Okay, what he's saying, he didn't say let it be by 24 or 200, or at most by 36 or 300. Two means two, three people at most. Not 30, not 300 or 3,000. Three, the number three. That's it.
Right, and that by course,
which means let them take turns. So here's a biblical rule for speaking in tongues right here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27. If somebody speaks in an unknown tongue, he says two or at the most three, and they have to go by course, meaning number one speaks in tongues. After he's done, number two speaks in tongues. After he's done, number three speaks in tongues at the most. If three people have spoken in tongues, a fourth person can't get up and say, oh, wait a minute, I got to speak in tongues. It says at most by three, four would exceed most. And they can't speak while the other person's speaking, because by course means one at a time. Then it says, and let one interpret, verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So what he's saying, if there's nobody there that you know can interpret what you're going to say in an unknown tongue or in another tongue, an unknown tongue here, he says, if there's nobody there to interpret, you're to keep silent. Even if nobody else has spoken, even if only one other person has spoken, if there's nobody there to interpret, you're to keep silent. That's exactly what it says. Now, I didn't make that up. You can look in your Bible. There it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27 and 28. I've seen tongue services. In the past, I've actually been to at least one tongue service. I've overheard other tongue services from outside. And I'm thinking in my mind what I saw and what I heard. And this very clearly says, let it be by two or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. And then in verse 40, there's more in here we could elaborate on, but in verse 40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, if you're thinking, but I was in a service, and there was about 100 people in the church, and they were all talking in tongues at one time. And I felt good. Well, that's great that you felt good, but let me ask you, does that violate the rule that the Apostle Paul laid down here in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 27 and 28, or not?
Interesting, too, because in verse, more than interesting, but it's, you know, in verse 33 there, chapter 14, 33, it says, God is not the author of confusion,
exactly,
but of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
Yes.
And if that's not, if he wasn't writing that just for that purpose, it seems like he's, you know, it seems the Holy Spirit's dictating that right there. He's saying,
yeah,
God's not the author of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that, you know, he's saying this is going to be a problem. There's going to be confusion about this.
Well, and see, people right away that want to justify having, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 or more people speaking in tongues and not everybody having an interpretation given of that tongue, they'll say, well, verse 39 says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. No, what did it just say there in verse 28? If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence.
Yeah.
So that's why I said, if we ignore for the moment whether or not tongues are for today, even if they were for today, verses 27 and 28 would apply, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And
it's clear it's giving us guidelines.
Yeah. Every tongue service that I've ever seen, either in person or on the television, violated verses 27 and 28. So let me ask you, is God going to do that and violate his own word? I mean, he said it.
Well, clearly not.
The Holy Spirit told Paul to write this. Either the Holy Spirit got it wrong or Paul wrote it wrong and then God didn't preserve his word like he said he would, or it could be that people are ignoring what God said because for whatever reason, it gives it to fulfill something in them. And even when tongues were a valid gift, it was never one of the greatest of the gifts. And they were supposed to covet some gifts that were a little better. I think gift of faith is certainly a better gift, but getting all excited about the speaking in unknown tongue is like getting $1 million in a brown paper bag and being all excited about the bag and not the money.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is an area...
In verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue...
Yeah, well, and that gets into another area.
Men were supposed to speak in...
And that brings up an area...
From what I'm hearing, at least, is there's a lot of, like, women supposedly speaking.
Yeah, verse 34 says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted them to speak. They are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And a lot of people believe that that refers to this speaking in tongues in the church. And but there also is some application because, I mean, the churches, the women sat on one side of the room and the men sat on the other side of the room. And when the woman didn't hear, you know, the wife didn't understand or hear what was said, she might call over to her husband on the other side of the aisle. What did he say? What do you mean by that? And that's what that could be applied to as well in verse 35, where it says, if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church, meaning and want them shouting back and forth across the aisle to have their husband try to repeat what was said or explain something. But and a lot of people would apply that very strongly to the tongues thing in particular. But even if that one doesn't apply, right, if it doesn't apply, we still have the very clear teaching. Let it be by two or at most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. You can't get any clearer than that. That's chapter and verse. That's not my opinion. That's the Holy Spirit's opinion because he gave that. And, you know, people can do what they want to do today, and that's obviously true. And churches can conduct things the way they want to. That's obviously true. But nevertheless, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote very clearly that when people spoke in tongues in his day, there was only supposed to be two or at most three. That by course, one had to interpret. There was no interpreter. They were to keep silence. So, yeah, that's it's pretty clear to me. Even if tongues were for today, if they were, that rule would be in force. And I remember distinctly being in a church service where there were a couple hundred people, and they were all talking at one time, and I guarantee somebody wasn't interpreting everything every single person there said. You couldn't understand half of what everybody said because it was all a jumble of people at one time. And no, that's
Well, you know where it says that if going back, I mean, we kind of talked about tongues, but it talked about, you know, by another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And I can remember years ago seeing like Pat Robertson would like be. I don't mean I. You know, I'm not trying to put him down, but I just remember, you know, he was like teaching this. He said he would get a word of knowledge, like the Lord would reveal something to him. And he'd say, well, like somebody in the audience here is going to be healed if has a illness or, you know, some kind of disease or infirmity they're going to be healed of. And he would say he'd got that word of knowledge from the Lord. That's really probably not what that's referring to. I would.
Well, and sometimes when people say that, a lot of times it's the words that we're used to using, phrases and things like that, because in independent fundamental Baptist churches, you'll frequently hear people say, well, the Lord helped me to see something, or I was praying about this passage, and you know, the Lord showed me something, and we're not talking about mystical, you know, things like that. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, interpreting and opening a scripture to us, or guiding us in some fashion. We'll say, you know, I really felt led of the Lord to do this, or I felt led of the Lord that this was the problem or something. And in other churches, they'll use, well, I had a word of knowledge, you know, and I think sometimes they're talking about the same thing. In fact, I talked to somebody one time who goes to a church that sometimes speaks in tongues, and I asked him about that, and he said, yeah, I think you're right. I think that in our church, when we say a word of knowledge, we're really meaning just what you said when you said, well, I felt led of the Lord to do this. Or, you know, like missionaries will say, I felt called of God, you know, to go to the mission field and called of God to go to this this country. But good question there, John, and appreciate that. We're coming up on the break, and we're going to have another half of the program here. We'll be with you until midnight yet tonight, so stay tuned for the second half of our program, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until midnight tonight. And certainly we'd love to hear from you. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And of course, we're brought to you, as I said, by Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, and do appreciate your prayers for us. We're hoping to move into a new facility, new building, a rental building. We don't own a building, not looking at buying one anytime soon, just a place to rent where we can meet. And it's not the walls, but the people that make the church. And we're also brought to you tonight by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. That's State Route 82 in the center of North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393, and let Frank there at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton know that you heard about him right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we've been talking about a different number of things here tonight. We've been talking about spiritual gifts. We've been talking about a variety of things in regards to that. But we're here for your calls about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. If you've got a question, why don't you give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have, I believe, Jeremiah calling. And Jeremiah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for a, been searching for a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found her yet. I go through church, and I'm well dedicated to my church and well involved. So I'm just, I pray for a wife.
Well, and that's the right way to start searching, because, you know, the Bible says, he that, you know, findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. And the best place to begin searching for a Christian is certainly in church. You know, the Bible says we ought not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And certainly, Jeremiah, we pray and hope our audience listening, people remember to pray for you, that God would help you to find a wife that he would have for you. I didn't get married until I was 29, and I certainly prayed, and I waited because I wanted to find the right one, the one that God had for me. And here a few years down the road, I got married in 1989, so it's been a few years down the road. Something must have worked. I think God gave me the right one. At least she's sitting across from me. I better say that, otherwise she might hit me. No, but if you start with prayer, that's the best way. And let me give you another suggestion, Jeremiah. And the idea with searching for a wife, just advice I give to people, Christians, put together a list of what you're looking for. It was kind of amazing when I met my wife. I had a list of some things that I was looking for. Had to be saved, certainly, first and foremost. And I was praying that God would send me to somebody that viewed the Bible that I like I did, that was a fundamental independent Baptist like I was, and that was King James only like I was, and had a burden for missions like I did, things of that nature. And I actually had a list, and lo and behold, when we got to talking seriously about the possibility of getting married, I found out my wife had a list too. At the time, she wasn't my wife, but she had a list. And we found out we matched each other's lists, and it really makes a helpful way to kind of look around rather than just grabbing the first one that swims by and thinking that was it. But
kind of like write what you like and what you don't like.
Well, and look at it from a scriptural standpoint. In fact, if you've got a good pastor or assistant pastor or somebody at the church where you're at, or Sunday school teacher, a good mature Christian friend, especially if you've got a married couple in the church that you see that has a good marriage and that you're comfortable talking with, ask them what God did in their lives to bring them together. And I think you'll find that helps your search. But prayer and and searching for God's will, that's certainly going to get you started in the right direction.
Of course, church is also a good start too.
Yes, and well, that's what you said in church. So that's, and it may not be your church. Let me give you an example. When my wife and I met, I was going to a church that was rather small. Of course, we're still a small church, and there wasn't, shall we say, a very large pool of potential suitable wives in that church, in particular in an age range that I was interested in. And God sent me down to the southern part of central Kentucky on a trip that I didn't even want to go on. And there I met my wife, who was a friend of a mutual acquaintance who was a friend of mine, and all this sort of stuff. And long story short, we met on a trip that I didn't even want to go on, but God opened the door for me and I went. And so you might be looking at your church thinking, well, there's really not much potential here. But God can open a door, some activity, some event, you visit another church, and a lot of times, not pastors, sometimes pastors know of people in other churches or you know, talking with other pastors, they know of somebody that says, oh, you know, we got somebody in our church who's really praying for a husband. And so God can bring you together.
Is it possible that maybe God could be holding her back from me?
Well, on this, I would put it with this qualifier, until you're ready and or she's ready, probably both. That could be the case. I was 29 when I got married, and I would have kind of liked to have gotten married earlier, but the Lord knew I wasn't really ready at 28, so I didn't get married until 29.
Well, what I mean is, so, could God be having her grow as a Christian?
Yeah.
And want me to grow as a Christian too, but
yeah,
keep us separated?
Oh yeah, absolutely, because it's easy to make mistakes that you regret later on. And, you know, I realized that I needed some Christian growth in my life. And then, of course, I'm sure that my wife needed some Christian growth in her life. And at the right time, God brought us together. And another interesting thing about that was I got to the point, I actually met my wife when I was 28. We only knew each other a year. We actually got married 1 year to the date when we first met. And when I met her, I had gotten to the point where I was kind of resolved. I thought, well, Lord, I guess I'm never going to get married. If that's what you want for me, I'll accept that. And it took me a while to accept that. And when I was willing to accept, you know, if that's what you want for me, Lord, I'll accept it, that's when God opened the door and provided me a wife. And that's not going to necessarily work that way for everybody. Certainly, hopefully people who are listening will be praying for you, and people in your church will be praying for you. So,
did you ever go to North Coast Baptist Church?
North Coast Baptist Church? No, but I know the pastor there. I've met him, and I've known some people that go there, but I've never gone to the church. I have met some people there, including the pastor, but that's about it.
That's a pretty good church.
Yeah, so far as I know some people that have spoken highly of it. In fact, I believe Pastor Lutz, that's the pastor there, has been on the radio here himself for a while. And I know some people think quite highly of him.
I used to go to that church, but yeah. I left the church.
So
I guess I felt it wasn't God's will for me to be there.
Well, and God will place people in different churches so that he can use you in different ways. And I appreciate that. And certainly don't give up on God. Pray and seek God's guidance. Seek the guidance of some mature Christians and maybe some married couples, because you'll find that they know people. And God can open doors for you. You know, don't give up on God on this. Like I said,
okay, thank you. Have a good evening.
All right, you too. God bless. Appreciate the call there. And certainly we've got a couple more callers calling in, but you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word by calling 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we will get you on the air here tonight. And we have another caller here. Let's see. We have, I believe, up next is John in Cleveland. And, John, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are you tonight?
Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. I hope you're not still on the X team.
I probably still am.
Okay.
For those that are listening, we were talking last week on Earth Day a lot of the environmentalists want to reduce the Earth's population to 500 million people. And if you look around, probably you and nobody that you know is on the list that makes it. And John asked me last week if I was on the A team. I said, I think I'm on the X team.
Well, isn't there any way we can upgrade you?
Well, I would have to... probably rekindle some relationships with some of the avid environmentalists that I went to college with in my youth, and I would have to say I repent, and I've become a member of the Monkey Wrench Gang. But if anybody's familiar with that reference to Cleveland Amory's book, The Monkey Wrench Gang, but I don't think I'm going to get upgraded anytime soon.
You were talking about tongues and... Corinthians.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if you felt that tongues could be different languages.
That's exactly what it is, actually. The word tongues means languages in the scripture. That's what it means.
I know if I went someplace and somebody was talking German, I wouldn't understand them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if I said, malo ja, or malo yone, au mai oi. You wouldn't know what I said, but in Samoan, I said, hello, John, how are you?
Yeah, I've...
It wouldn't mean anything to you, but if you knew Samoan, I have a friend named John who knows a little Samoan, and if I said, Malo yane, au mai oi, he would know what I meant. He would say, Manuia fafetai, which means fine, thank you. So there, we just spoke in tongues on the radio tonight. You can mark that down, Pastor Al spoke in tongues. But I did interpret, so...
I remember I was watching Jimmy Swaggart one time on television, and he started, it must be the Pentecostals that have what they call the glossia.
That's a technical term for it.
And it was almost like it was gibberish.
Well, I heard a guy one time talking about somebody who just was saying Karachi, Karachi, Karachi. It was the same thing over, and then somebody interpreted it as all kinds of stuff. But if you look on a map, you'll find Karachi is an important port city in Pakistan.
Yeah.
And, it's a controversial area, and I just want to go with the Bible. And it's like I told our caller, if we were supposed to be doing this, then the rules that Paul laid down in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 27, 28 have to apply. But I personally think it was a sign gift that was here for a time when the Word of God was completed. There was no reason for it. It plainly said in that same chapter that it was a sign not to them that believe, but them that believe not. And it was a sign to unbelieving Jews. And you can study that. That's a whole other area. But it was languages.
If you'd been at Corinth, different people would have probably been talking different languages. There would have been Greek and Latin and...
Oh, yes, absolutely. There were a variety of languages spoke there. In fact, when you look at the first instance in the New Testament of tongue speaking, you see that on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And this proves that they're languages because it says... in Acts chapter 2, in verse number 4, it says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And as you drop down, it says in we'll just read through here. The next verse says, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven, because of the holy days. And it says in verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And so there it is. They're languages.
Right.
And then it lists. It says, verse 7, they're using the language and tongues interchangeably. And they were all amazed and marveled, and saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. And then it gives a list of these various languages, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and parts of Libya about Cyrene and strange Romans, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God.
Right.
So there it is. It's very plainly languages.
And, okay, well, I'll let you get to the other caller.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for your call tonight, John.
Okay.
And we've got another caller. Of course, we've got a few minutes left in the program, and you can give us a call tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. And we have Nancy and Euclid up next, I believe. Nancy, you're there.
Yes.
Hi, Pastor, good evening. Welcome.
Thank you very much for taking my call tonight. Very interesting show about tongues, because I definitely agree with your stand versus the stand that the previous show had, but that's not why I'm calling, which I know your stand is, you know, strictly biblical and what Pastor Andrew Rusnacko has always taught us and Bruce Musselman and, you know, all the preachers we follow. I'm really concerned about the November election, as I know many people are, about the possibility of voter fraud. Mm-hmm. I know there'll be many, many attempts at the unscrupulous people handling the election to have voter fraud, but is there anything that ordinary citizens can do to help prevent voter fraud? And I wonder if there's like a checks and balances, maybe. I don't know how this works at the voting booths. Like maybe half Republicans and half Democrats would work, you know, at the booth. And then when it comes to counting the votes, do they ever have anything like that, like balance it out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah, let me touch on that real quick here. Absolutely. Everybody can do something to help prevent voter fraud, and let me encourage you, one way you can do it simply is to vote yourself, because that way nobody can come in and vote your ballot, or if somebody did go in and vote your ballot, you can say, hey, how did that get voted? I wasn't here before. This is who I am. You can show your identification, show this is you. There was a guy, there's a video that was on the internet recently. O'Keefe, I believe is a guy's name. He walked into the voting district in Washington, D.C., where the Attorney General, Eric Holder, is registered to vote. Now, Eric Holder said there's no problem with voter fraud. He walked in and he said, do you have a ballot for Eric Holder? And gave Eric Holder's address. Now, Eric Holder is a well-known member of the United States government, and he's black and has a slight mustache. The individual that walked in, and he's middle-aged, the individual that walked in was white with a full beard and young. And they said, oh, let's see, Eric Holder. Oh, here, yes, we have a ballot for Eric Holder. And he said, do you want to see my ID? And they said, oh, you don't need your ID. And he said, well, I'd feel more comfortable if I gave you my ID. And they said, well, you can vote here. You don't have to worry about your ID. And he goes, well, I left my ID out in the car. Let me go out and get it. And the guy said, well, if you want to do that, you don't have to. And he said, well, I'll be back faster than you can say furious. And off he went.
Oh, goodness. So, I did read about that on the internet.
Yeah, so
Facebook,
he walked in.
That, but, I mean, isn't there some...
Yeah.
Shouldn't there have been, like, well, a conservative there?
Now, here's what I was going to say. The way that, and I'm sure it's similar in Washington, D.C., in Ohio, and working the elections myself in Summit County, there in Richfield Township, we have at each table, we have two Republicans and two Democrats at each precinct. And there are people who were selected who basically live in the area, and we have some people sometimes, you know, substitute workers or something like that, and maybe you work in an area we're not quite as familiar. But the general idea is the people who work in the area or who live in the area are working the booth in the area, so you have an idea of who the people are that's coming in. And you, because you have Republicans and Democrats balanced, you know, that should be the checks and the balances. And because you have to show ID of some sort here in Ohio, it's a good guard against voter fraud, because if somebody came in and said, yes, I'm Nancy, and I'm going to vote here in Euclid, and they said, well, you don't look like Nancy, and you said, sure I am. And they said, let me see an ID. And you show them your ID, and they say, well, that's not you.
A good idea. Yeah. I think what they're putting Governor Jan Brewer in Arizona is just terrible, what they're putting her through, and she's just asking for people ID to prevent, all the illegal immigration. And it's absurd. I guess several other states are going through the same thing.
Well, think about this. If having to show an ID in order to vote means you're discriminated against, then everybody, and I'm not recommending go out and buy beer and cigarettes, but everybody who's going to go out and buy beer and cigarettes that looks young is going to be discriminated against because they have to show their ID, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean minorities can't buy beer and cigarettes? No, you show the ID so you know that you're legally allowed to buy those things. How about if you go to the bank and you want to cash a check? My bank says you have a photo ID.
Oh, absolutely.
Am I being discriminated against at my bank if I don't show a photo ID? No, the only reason...
Back to the half Democrat, half Republicans, what about when they count the votes? That's what I'm really concerned
about. Where the the Board of Elections...
Both, they have half Democrat and half Republicans.
The Board of Elections takes care of that. And, of course, in Ohio, we have electronic balloting, of various sorts, and there's variations on it from county to county. Like in Summit County, for instance, it all goes onto a computer card. It's a data card, and that card is loaded into the computers at the Board of Election in Summit County, and I'm not sure what Cuyahoga County or Medina County does or some of the surrounding ones. But and that goes in. In fact, at the end of the day, when we close the polls and we close down the machines, I can see who voted. In on that machine, I can see who voted, but how the vote went. I can see how many votes were cast on this issue or for this candidate or not. You don't see who voted. None of that is seen. In fact, those ballots are locked away. The only time they're ever brought out is if there's a reason to have to recount them by hand. Hopefully, they never have to be seen again. The machine reads them. The machine puts it on a card. The card is fed into another computer, which puts it on another card, and hopefully that's taken care of. But see, Christians need to be involved in this because some Christians do not vote. And, complain when our rights and our liberties are taken away. And there's some Christians who say, well, because Romney's a Mormon, I can't vote for him in the fall, when they know that by not voting... By not voting, they're giving the election to Obama. So you have to say, well, what's the lesser of the two evils, which one do I like least, a Romney presidency or an Obama presidency again? Because there's the point that Obama said to Medvedev the Russian prime minister, I think he is. He said, I've got one more election, and after that, I can be more flexible.
Right.
So that's a scary thing. Well, our music's coming up. And as Christians, one of the ways we can be salt and light, which the Bible commands us to do, is to get involved in the election process. You yourself can go apply in your county to the Board of Elections and work the elections. They're generally needing people. Nancy, you could do that. You just contact the Board of Elections and you can find out. And it's easy to apply. It's not hard. People get involved in the local areas, get involved in things, and you can make a difference and find out what you can do.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Al.
I appreciate that, and certainly pray for the elections. I think that's something we lose sight of. As Christians, we need to pray for safe, fair, honest elections. Well, we're out of time tonight. Appreciate the calls. Good night. God bless. Join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.